You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Sufficient Grace.
Second Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, the devil kept messing with me. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect. I'm adding your there for clarity. My strength is made perfect when you're weak. God said, if you're so strong, then I guess you don't need me. But my strength is manifested, comes to its most mature point when you are weak. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, human inadequacies, limitations, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. This is part two of what I started yesterday. Sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. Even as Bishop Blue was again reminding us last night, the Greek word for grace is charis. It's talking about that which is produced through God's power. And it produces joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness. It's God's goodwill, loving kindness, it's favor. It keeps, it strengthens, it increases. And also that grace there refers to what is produced or comes by grace. And so we move beyond just the most traditional thinking about grace that is it is God's unmerited favor, and yet it is so much more. As we heard last night and as I've been expounding on in yesterday's session, I will again in today's session. We're moving beyond just the saving grace. By grace you save through faith, that not of yourself, is the gift of God, less than any man should boast. We're moving beyond justifying grace, which is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, being justified freely by his grace. And so we started talking also about focusing on that God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. You're complaining to me, you're coming to me, you're beseeching me, you're crying out to me about this situation that you're in, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to do anything other than what I've already done for you in this situation. I've given you my grace. And my grace does not mean that my grace merely helps you tolerate it. My grace will help you to eliminate it. Don't think of this as God telling him, ain't nothing you can do. And well, you know, we kind of use this almost like God said, I ain't doing nothing about it. Well, God, I'm broke. I can't pay my bills. And I'm about to, and I'm sleeping in my car. Well, that's all right. Sleep in your car because my grace is sufficient. That ain't what he's saying. He's not saying that you just going to have to stay in that situation. He's saying my grace is enough to get you out of the situation. My grace is enough to cause you to walk in victory despite that situation and to come out of it. Are y'all with me here? So never again think of this as, well, God's not going to do anything, but I got his grace. No, it's the grace that's going to cause something to be done about it. So God said, you don't have to ask me. I've already given it to you. Just like he told the disciples, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And then he says, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What you say? He said, I delegated that power, that authority to you, and you got to use it. So we started saying yesterday, you got the grace. Use the grace. Look to your neighbor and say, don't waste the grace. Don't waste the grace. God's given you that power. God's given you that ability. God's given you that character. God's given you that that gifting. Use the grace. I got another series in me about grace abusers. Now you can use the grace, but don't abuse the grace. What's grace abuse? Paul said, oh, you think you just continue in sin because grace abounds? No, you're a grace abuser. Shall we continue in sin just because God's good? God forbid. Don't abuse the grace. Don't waste the grace. But use the grace and appropriate God's grace in your life. And so we started, we saw from Ephesians 4 and 7. Put that one up. But unto every one of us is given grace. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of what God has gifted you to do. Every one of us is given grace for our assignment, grace for our lane. And we've also found that you can't copy grace, you can't mimic grace, you can't parrot grace, and you can't pirate grace. Did you get all that last night too? All right? So we said, we saw number one, there's corporate grace, called Acts 4:33. Great grace was upon them all. Then we saw number two, we said enabling grace. That's working grace. That grace that enables you to work and do what God's called you to do. And Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10, according to the grace of God, as a master builder, I've laid the foundation. God enabled me to plant these churches and dig out this ministry. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we're co-laborers, we're workers together with him. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Number three. That's how far we got yesterday. Hebrews 4:16. We have a great high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmity, so we don't have to creep to the throne. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Everybody say grace to help. So there's help in grace. Think I can't do it? No, just go to God. God, I need your grace for this. You know, I was joking yesterday, and I said about, you know, I don't have grace for this, I have grace for that. You know, I don't have grace for commuting traffic, being in traffic and all this kind of stuff. Well, if that's what you got to do, you can go to God for help. God, I need you to help me with this. Come on. Every pastor got members we go to God about and say, Lord, I need some grace. Okay. I need you to help me with this one. Help me with this one, Lord. I remember somebody in our church, I was getting ready to put them out. I'm a founding pastor. I was here before you got here. See, in some churches they say, I was here before you got here. I'll be here when you know. I was here before all y'all got here. Okay. And I said, I'm done. I told Lord, I'm done with this person. They were just causing so much havoc. And the Lord said to me, you are not done with them because I ain't done with them. And you're going to have to deal with them and help them and teach them and instruct them. You can want to be done with people. God said, no, you ain't done. So now you're going to go and say, okay, God, so I need some more grace for this person. Come on, see, some of y'all trying to be done with your marriage. You just need to be asked for more grace with your husband. Oh, y'all ain't trying to hear that. God, I need some grace. You know, okay, everybody say, Lord. Give me more grace. And we're going to come back to that. Look, so there's helping. You can find grace to help in your time of need. Let's move on here. Number four, there's giving grace. Some of y'all are being challenged here because you ain't never seen. Somebody said to me, I'll tell you who it was. I remember Bishop Brooks, Lisa Page Brooks' husband. We were sitting at dinner one time. He said, man, it just look like you just have folks for the money. They just come and just give you the money. There's no problem. I said, no, it ain't been that simple. Folks have to be taught. You have to be taught and you have to raise your faith. And then you have to believe God that God gonna give you giving grace. Come on, everybody say giving grace.
Giving grace.
Let me show you this. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 chapter, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Sometimes I take the King James Version, I just translate it into how we talk today. We do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And he's talking about giving grace here. He said, so much grace came on them, verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and despite their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He said, even though they were in dire strait, even though they were on the brink of financial ruin, a grace came on them. And despite what they were going through, it did not affect their generosity. Do you all see this? Look at verse 3. For to their power, that word power means ability. For to their ability, okay, you expect the people in a particular income bracket to only be able to give so much. Well, it's easy for him to give $1,000. I think they make $100,000 a year. But what when the person who makes $10,000 regularly gives $1,000? How you explain that? There's a grace. And what he's saying here, look what he said. For to their power, their ability, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. He said, "They know what they said? We will not be limited by my income. The only thing going to limit me is my faith. Are y'all hearing me here? You have to get to the place you have a desire to give. Well, God, when I make more money, I'm going to give more. No, no, no. How about you have a desire to give more right where you are and believe that if I give more, God's going to increase me? See, now, this point here challenges some of y'all right now. That's why I didn't end with it. I began with it. Okay. There was a giving grace that came upon them. Let me read that, make it plain from a couple other translations. The Amplified, that same verse said, we want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor, and spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give alms. This grace came on them and made them want to give. Some of you ain't had that grace come on you, right? They had a grace on this. Man, I just want to give. I want to give. I want to give to this. I want to sow into this. I want to help this. Verse 2. For in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, the abundance of joy and their deep and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity. This is not talking about giving according to your able. This is talking about a grace that caused them to give beyond their able. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because some of y'all, you get your giving record back, and you're like, I gave how much? Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I was able to give that, and watch this, and I haven't missed anything. And all my bills are paid, because if you told me in the beginning of the year I was even going to be required of that, I said, that devil is a lie in the way I'm going to be. But there's a grace that came on you because you had a desire to give and you was able to give. And what you realized what was happening as you were giving, God was supplying. As you were giving, God was supplying. As you were giving, God was supplying.
Amen.
So he says, lavish generosity, for as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability. That's their income bracket. And yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily. It wasn't no special music playing. It wasn't no new scriptures we had to create. Come on now. It wasn't no prophetic word that when you do this going, no, no. It was their love and their for the ministry and love for God. It caused a grace to come on them that they were able to give beyond what they ordinarily would have. Look at this. Verse 4. It says, back to the King, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Oh, Lord. I have had people sow, and I know their situation. And in the natural, I'm saying, no, you shouldn't give this. You shouldn't, no, because I know too much. But they need it to give it more than we need to receive it. Because this seed is going to cause something to break loose as a result of their obedience and their faith. Paul said, we didn't even want to receive it. We knew their situation. But it said, but they begged us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but look at this. This is what's required for this grace to come upon you. Look at this. But first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They committed themselves to God, and then they committed themselves to the man of God. And as a result of that, this grace that caused generosity beyond their natural ability came on them. Therefore, look at it. So Paul says, he's writing to the Corinthian church about the Macedonian church, about this grace, this giving grace that came on them. He says, so therefore, as you abound, your church, in everything, in faith, boy, y'all say, I got faith, I can move mountains, special faith, the gift of faith, in utterance, a lot of people try to water this down. What he's really talking about. There's some people say that in speaking, in articulation, in utterance, Paul said, y'all folk prophesy and speak in tongues more than anybody. Every time we turn around, and thus saith the Lord. You always got a word. You always got an utterance. You always got something the Lord giving you to speak in tongues or to prophesy. That's what he's talking about. He said, you abound in that. And in knowledge, that's talking about the gift of spirit, the word of knowledge. The Lord showing me such and such and this and that. He said, and in diligence, you're faithful. Y'all will come to church. And even your love for us, see to it that you abound in what? Oh, this grace. See that you got a lot of giving along with your lot of tongues. Ask God to help you abound in this grace. Everybody say the grace of giving. See, some of y'all look at me like a cow at a new gate. Okay. This is a grace too. This is a grace that I tapped into years ago. This is a grace that I first tapped into because I said I'm not going to be limited by my income. So when we started this ministry and within the first year, started in April, 96, the last Sunday of April. I got fired in March of 97. Went from $65,000 a year down to what the church could give us at the time, $150. The bills didn't change because I went full-time in ministry. And I wasn't planning on full-time ministry. When I got fired, and the reason why I got fired, because I wouldn't quit. And the reason why I wouldn't quit, because my wife wasn't in agreement with me quitting. And I told her they're going to fire me. She said, no, they will not fire you, baby. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're going to be all right. I said, man, they call all my staff every day. My staff going into the conference room on a phone call with the home office. Without me knowing about it. I said, I think they're talking about me. No weapons formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against thee shall be condemned. I'm going to office. They in little huddles. They tell me, hey Herb. I said, they have to get me, baby. I said, she said, get back out of there. You all right? They beat me up. I said, baby, you go back and get back in there. I'm like, can you throw the towel for me? So, got fired. And my immediate thing was, immediately, because they gave no reason why they fired me. Welcome to South Carolina. South Carolina is called an employee at will state. You are at your employee at the will of your employer. We can fire you for any reason, no reason. whatsoever. Or a reason we know, we ain't going to tell you. Because we don't have to tell you nothing. You need to be glad you have a job. Now just be glad we didn't even tell you why you're fired. So at least Dallas can't hold, you can't hold them against you. Just say, they let me go. And so my plan was me to go get another job. And I had interviews. So the Lord said to me, No. I want you full-time in ministry. I remember when he spoke to me, confirmed at a service. I called up Marcia. We was at a service. And I said, honey, the wise man, the Lord start speaking. She said, well, what? I said, when I get home, we got to talk. She said, talk about what? I said, when we go home, she said, don't come talk about you being no full-time in ministry. We got four kids. And she hadn't worked outside the home in 8 years. I said, we'll talk about when we get home. And so I said, we're in the home below. She said, hand me the water. Somebody got to be working up in here. I said, and then she didn't have to. I had been an executive recruiter. I tried to help her get a job. She didn't even know. I was sending out her resume. I was an executive recruiter. There were folks who called the office. Can I speak to Marcia Bailey? She would answer the phone and say, this is Marcia Bailey. Yeah, you applied for such a position. She said, I didn't apply. I said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You applied. She said, what? You applied. She said, what are you talking about? I had sent her out the resume, the cover letter, everything. Just go to the interview. And the Lord told me, then the Lord spoke to me and said, I did not ask you or tell you to switch places with your wife. I'm your source. So now we had $150 a week. 100 for me, 50 for Marcia. Marcia claims she never got her 50. I don't know. I remember the details. She said she never got her 50. Okay, you do the math. $150 a week times 4. Okay, so we're $600, right? My rent was $870. My car payment was $282. We ain't talking about utilities and bump those student loans. Please, student loans, I will fax you this degree back. I'll overnight it to you if you're going to cancel it. $150 a week. I learned the principle. If it's not enough for your need, make it your seed. And that was not enough for our need. Not even close.
We hope you are blessed today. Whenever you're watching this, we hope you are blessed with the message of Sufficient Grace by Dr. Herbert Bailey. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you so much for our viewers. I thank you for our partners and those connected with us through television and through the digital mediums of the world, God. But we pray a specific blessing for them because they're tuned in. Lord God, I declare and we believe that we connect with their faith, that because they're tuned in, the angels in the heavens and God's favor and grace is tuned into their life. We pray that as they go forward this year, I don't know what's on their hearts. I don't know what they're believing you for, but I believe and we believe that they have sufficient grace. We thank you for it, God, and we know that you're a great finisher, and we're looking to you to assist us along the way. Be blessed.
Do you sometimes feel inadequate or that you're not capable of fulfilling your goals? You have to know that you have what it takes in God. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their ministry guests will help you to settle the matter regarding God's sufficient grace in your life. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the 2017 Direction for Life Conference, Sufficient Grace.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina,
929-221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.